Comet Tempel 1 has flown by Earth more than 20 times since it was first discovered in 1867. However, it wasn't until July 4, 2005, when an 820-pound spacecraft smashed into the comet that astronomers began to wonder, could Tempel 1 be the key to understanding solar systems beyond our own? Hello, I'm Linda Booth.
This Spitzer Space Telescope podcast is part of a series highlighting recent discoveries in infrared astronomy. It's produced by NASA's Spitzer Science Center at the California Institute of Technology in Pasadena. The Spitzer mission is managed by NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory.
Today we're talking with Dr. Carrie Liss of the Johns Hopkins University Applied Physics Laboratory. Welcome, Carrie.
Oh, thank you for having me here.
So what can you tell us about comets and solar systems?
Well, comets are the dinosaur bones of solar system formation. They are some of the first things to form from the swirling gas and dust that came in from the spaces in between the stars, we call interstellar material. And that started collapsing after supernova shockwaves started a collapse of a giant molecular cloud. And these pieces of dust are finer than your hair. And just gas molecules, and they start coalescing and form comets first, and then the comets come together and form planets. And so comets really are a necessary step in forming what we know today as the solar system.
So I understand that you're on the science team of Deep Impact. What was Deep Impact, and what did it tell you about comets?
Deep Impact was a NASA mission launched in January 2005 that hit the comet 9P Tempel 1 July 4, 2005. Two-part spacecraft, one part impactor, another part called a flyby that watched what happened with CCDs and an infrared spectrometer. And the impactor hit at 10 kilometers a second, that's 6 miles a second, and made a hole we think about 20 or 30 meters deep and maybe 100 meters or so across, and excavated a huge amount of material, about 10 million kilograms.
So what's the point of going into a comet and smacking into it?
Comets are some of the darkest and blackest things we know in the solar system. And we think that's because even though they are made of pristine ice and dust, that when they get near the sun, they literally get burnt by UV radiation and solar wind from the sun. And so the outsides of the comets, the parts that we can see when they emit their gas and dust, are really pretty processed and baked and burnt and changed from that original material. So we need deep impact to actually get through that layer and get down into the deep interior to get to the material that hasn't seen the sun in 4.5 billion years that was originally put there in the era of planet formation.
What did Spitzer's observations of Deep Impact and tell you about our solar system?
Spitzer was there watching with its incredibly sensitive infrared eyes when this material, when Deep Impact did its excavation, and it was almost a perfect infrared powder experiment. This material that came out was really fine-grained and flowed out, and Spitzer was able to watch it all, and with its infrared spectrometer, gave us a huge, highly detailed measurement of the materials in this comet. We were actually able to see all kinds of very special emissions from different kinds of material, rock forming material, ice, metal sulfides like pyrite, soot, chalk, and we were able to see all these things. And it's really pretty cool that we could do this with this simple experiment, that Spitzer could tell us all this.
Was this the most detailed information that we've gotten out of a comet so far? Have there been previous missions that have given us similar insights into a comet?
It's a very good question. The Halley flybys in 1986 and 7 gave us somewhat simpler. Halley's comet gave us very simple measurements, but nothing. This is the most detailed astrophysical spectrum of dust I've ever seen. And we really were quite fortunate, and it's actually really neat that this experiment, which this is a bit of serendipity. We really didn't plan on this actually happening. We planned on a lot of other things, but this one really returned a lot. And I think it's almost a Rosetta Stone for trying to understand what's in comets and asteroids and things around our star, our sun, and around other stars.
Did you see any commonalities between Halley's and Tempel 1? How did Halley and
Yes.
Tempel 1 compare to each other?
Yeah, actually, in ways that were actually, and Hale-Bopp, and actually ways that were surprising, because typically when you look at a comet like Tempel 1, they're very dark, and they put out the very large, dark pieces of dust, and we can't really tell much about them with our infrared spectra. They really don't show much character because they're so thick, they're black. It's like trying to figure out what something is if it's really just really thick and long and deep. It just looks dark to you. But Halley's comet, Hale-Bopp, put out little fine pieces of dust, and you actually can see colors and see details of their properties. And once we burrowed through the outside of Tempel 1 and got in the interior, suddenly we were putting out dust and material that looked just like Halley's and Hale-Bopp's, in fact, even finer.
So could all comets be made of the same or similar material?
We think actually we've looked at three other comets, Schwassmann-Bachmann 1, Schwassmann-Bachmann 3, and Hale-Bopp, and compared them to Tempel 1 that we saw with Spitzer. And there are a lot of commonalities. There are some important differences because that when comets were formed. They weren't all formed right away. They had about 5 million years to form. And we think that where they formed, around the giant planets or out by Pluto and past, is important, and also when they formed, whether they formed early or late.
So how can you tell if it's formed early mm-hmm. or late?
We look at probably the most telling is what we call silicates, the rock forming elements in the comet, and we can see how crystalline they are. The material that came in from the star, outside between the stars and coalesced to make the comets was actually pretty glassy, like the glass in your window. But the dust we see in comets has a lot of crystalline component, like the crystal in your goblets. And the only way to do that is to heat it to that red hot heat you see in furnaces when you go to glassmakers. And the only way to do that we know of is to bring that material by the sun. And the more times it went around the sun, the more crystalline it got. And so we can see the more crystalline material in the comet, the more it's been processed, and the older it is.
So who's older?
Tempel 1 looks older than Hale-Bopp.
What did Tempel 1 tell you about other solar systems and other comets that aren't in our own solar system?
Well, we now can say that we've learned a little bit about comets in our solar system, and Spitzer has started looking at others, and actually doing a very great survey of other stars and finding what we call debris disks and evidence for dust and comets and asteroids around other stars. And what we haven't been able to really understand what we see with Spitzer. But now we've got what I like to call is a Rosetta Stone. We understand Tempel 1 pretty well. We know that the material was emitted at a certain distance from the sun at a certain time and from a pristine reservoir. So now we can go ahead and say, okay, we know what this comet is. Let's go see if we can find comets around other stars. And we've looked at three systems. One system, HD100546, nice telephone number, looks like it's got lots of comets around it, and looks like actually it's forming it's formed planets even as we speak, and lots of planet formation and coalescing is happening. Two other systems we looked at don't look anything like the four comets, and we really think they're more like they're asteroids that have broken up and spread out into a dusty debris ring or in those systems. And Spitzer is seeing that with its sensitive eyes. One of them is 15 million years old, and the other one is about maybe 4 or 5 billion years old, like our own star system. So we see this in very different ages.
So Tempel 1 was the key to reading these different solar systems.
Absolutely, yes. It's been a very great experiment. It's a really nice result.
Great. Thank you so much for being here with
us. You're very welcome.
For the Spitzer Science Center, I'm Linda Vu.
To find out more about this topic, visit our website at www.spitzer.caltech.edu. You can browse our image galleries, read about the latest results, and subscribe to our newsletter. On behalf of NASA's Spitzer Science Center, thanks for listening.